Friends, many of you know that my wife and I went to college at Baptist Bible College in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania, which is just about 1 hour north of here, right up Interstate 81. Now, Clark Summit is actually one of the smaller little bedroom communities for people who work and live in Scranton and Wilkes-Barre. Now, when I first came to Clark Summit and BBC as a freshman student back in the early 90s, if you had some free time and you weren't working and you wanted to go and do something for fun, well, you had to really get out of sleepy little Clark Summit because there really just wasn't much going on there. Well, one particular weekend during the first month of school, I'm pretty sure it was right around Labor Day weekend, a group of guys started going around the dorm. And they just started saying, hey, who wants to go down to Scranton? Who wants to go down to get something to eat? Apparently, there was something going on down there with lots of food and drink. And I didn't have anything else going on, so I decided to tag along. And like a bunch of typical college kids will do, we all crushed ourselves into this poor guy's car. And within about 15 minutes, we were all walking around the downtown square in Scranton. Now, let me tell you, this event was packed. I mean, there were people everywhere. I've never seen an event this big before. I mean, the sidewalks were full. The streets were full. And there were people everywhere. And there was food everywhere. I mean, this stand here had chicken. And this stand here had sausage sandwiches. This one had pierogies. And this one had gyros. And this one over here had meatballs. I mean, the smells alone were enough to get you excited. But of course, in addition to all the food, was all the music. There were multiple stages all set up around the downtown square, and there was polka music, and there was classic rock, and there was oldies music playing. And in front of each stage were a whole bunch of people who were dancing. I mean, young people, old people, middle-aged people, they were all just really enjoying all this activity and all this excitement. Well, about an hour into this thing, after I had gotten a nice big chicken leg to chew on and a nice cold Coca-Cola, about an hour in, all of a sudden it struck me, what in the world is going on here? What is this event? Here I was eating and I'm drinking and I'm walking around, I'm listening to music, I mean, I'm participating in all this stuff, and I didn't even know what it was. I finally leaned over to a few of the guys from the dorm, and I started to laugh. I said, guys, what is this thing anyway? And that's when one of them pointed off in the distance, and over the tops of the heads of the crowd, I could make it out off in the distance. I could see this banner that had these words on it, La Festa Italiana. Ah, so what was this thing? It was the Italian Festival of Scranton, one of the biggest events in Northeast PA every year. Family, let me tell you, no matter how many years pass me by, I will never forget the time that I was eating and drinking and celebrating on the streets of Scranton downtown, having a great time at this massive event, where for the longest time I had no idea what was going on. Family, we've gathered together here this morning, and we have just come off one of the most exciting weekends in our Christian calendar. Every Easter weekend, we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And without a doubt, this is a celebration each year that is unlike any other. Why? Because we're celebrating the rising of our Savior from the grave. By His triumph over the tomb, Jesus not only accomplished our salvation in full, but we celebrate that by trusting in Him, one day we too will rise in resurrection glory. We too will have an eternal life with Jesus because of all that He did for us. You know, friends, for as much as we like to celebrate and enjoy the Christmas season, you know, nothing compares to the energy and the activity that goes on during Easter week. I mean, think about it. So many churches have food, they have fellowships, they have get-togethers throughout the week of Easter. And then on Easter Sunday, right, there's an explosion of music, and there's instruments, and there's choirs, and there's readings, and there's poems, not to mention the preaching, and the singing, and the videos, and the dramas. I mean, talk about excitement. I mean, that is Easter from start to finish. You know, friend, I wonder if perhaps maybe there are a few of you here this morning who found yourself caught up in all the energy and all the excitement of last Sunday. And even if you didn't say it to someone, perhaps you were thinking it to yourself, what in the world is going on here? What have I found myself in the midst of? What is it about Jesus that has all of these Christians so excited? Who knows? Perhaps it is some of that energy. Perhaps it's some of that excitement that has brought you back on this Sunday, the Sunday after Easter, and you're still asking that same question. What is going on here? What is going on that these Christians are so excited? What is it about Jesus that gets them so amped up every Sunday? What is it about Jesus that brings people back to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? Well, friends, as we open the pages of God's Word today, you and I want to examine a few passages of Scripture that help us understand why the church still matters. Why the church still matters. What is really going on here Sunday by Sunday with all the excitement and energy in this gathering of Christians? What is the real value of the local church? Why does the church exist? And why should people like you and me be excited about participating in all the energy and activities of the church? Well, friends, today we want to open God's Word and we want to discuss together four reasons why the church still matters. Four reasons today, friends, why the church still matters. I hope that you'll open your bulletin this morning and maybe take some notes along with me as we study together. Let me show you four reasons today why the church still matters. Here's reason number one. The church exists to reflect the glory of God. Reason number one, the church exists to reflect the glory of God. Now, friends, when we study the Scriptures in both the Old and the New Testaments, there we learn that everything that was created by the power of God, by the plan of God, everything was purposefully designed to reflect God's glory. Now, let me explain this concept of glory to you. When Scripture talks about the glory of God, it's not just talking about the light that surrounds His throne. No, when Scripture talks about the glory of God, it's referring to the majesty of God, the infinite worth of God, the excellence of God. Look in your notes there. I gave you Psalm 19, verse 1, which is a very famous Scripture. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims His handiwork. So friend, listen, when you and I, when we look up and we see the blazing light of the sun, when we see the shining beauty of the moon at night, when we see the breathtaking speed of comets, we see the countless number of stars, we see the immensity of our solar system, all of these created things, they are designed to reflect to us the majesty, the grandeur, the excellence, and the glory of God. Think about this with me. If all of those created things show us such awesomeness, well, how much more awesome, how much more breathtaking must God be as the creator of all of those amazing things? Friends, Scripture teaches us that it isn't just all those heavenly bodies up in the sky and out in space. It isn't just those things that reflect the glory of God. The Bible says all things, all created things, bring glory and majesty to God. Look in your notes there. I gave you a Scripture from Romans 11, verse 36, which says, "For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen." So here's what we're saying. When we start to talk about this institution that we call the church, the Bible teaches us that at its very core, the church is designed to bring glory to God. The church is not a building. Maybe that's shocking to some of you because we put so much emphasis on property and bricks and architecture. But the church is not a building. The church is people. The church is a group of people whose lives have been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. People whose lives have been transformed by the work that Jesus did when he was here on planet Earth. Now, if you have your Bible, I ask you to open to the book of Ephesians. I want you to look with me today, family, at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. This is really the key verse that we'll be thinking about today. We'll be looking at some others too. But just to get us started here, thinking about the glory of God revealed in the church, I want you to look with me at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and verse 21. Scripture says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." So, this question, why does the church exist? The church exists to bring glory to God, to put his magnificence on display, to put his excellence, his worth on display, as in the way that he reached down and transformed people's lives through his Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, friends, what I'm saying is that one of the greatest ways that this world learns about God, the way the world ultimately learns about God's power, his person, his personality, the world learns as the church puts God on display. Look in your notes. I gave you a really super quote from a pastor whose name is John Kratz, and he said this: "The church was designed by God as a prism, drawing in his radiance and reflecting the rainbow of his perfections among his people and then outward to the world." That's right. I love that analogy. I love that illustration that the church is like a prism. It takes the truth of who God is, and then we reflect out all of those perfections to the world. So friend, don't think for a moment that the church is just another civic group. The church is not just another community organization. We're not just another community club. We're not just another social gathering. No, the church is literally the people of God. We are the family of God. We are his redeemed people. And we gather together week by week to worship him and to love him and to sing praise to him, to make his glories known, to radiate him in this world. That's why Paul said to Timothy there in 1 Timothy 1:17, "To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Friends, let's keep moving, okay? Let me show you a second reason why the church exists, why it still matters for our lives today. Number two, the church exists to preserve and promote the truth. Number two, the church exists to preserve and promote the truth. Now, family, most of you know that here at Grace Baptist Church, our nursery is exploding right now. I mean, maybe we should pause here and take a moment of prayer for all the nursery workers who are back there with all of those babies and those children. I mean, on any given Sunday, maybe as you're walking down the hallway there, you can take a look in the nursery and see, and you will be amazed. Not only by the number of little babies and toddlers that are in that nursery on a week-by-week basis, but you will especially be amazed by the dedicated, hard work of our nursery staff. Now, maybe right now, maybe this will be a great time to make a plug for our nursery. I don't think my nursery director would mind. We could use some more of you ladies to help us in our nursery ministry. It is so vital that we have a place where those babies can be babies, and they can cry, and they can be what they want to be, in order that their mom and their dad can be in here and worship and learn. So I put out the call. We have a booming, exploding nursery ministry right now, and we could sure use a few more of you ladies to step into that gap and serve and help us. Now, family, one of the things that always makes me smile when I go into our nursery, I try to not go in there when all the kids are in there because you'll get swarmed. But when I do get in there sometimes, one of the things that I notice is the fact that everything in that room is 100% kid-friendly. I mean, you will never find in there any toys that have jagged, sharp edges. You won't see anything dangerous. Everything in there has been looked at. It's been studied. It's been examined to make sure that it is mouth-friendly, right? Because so many of those little kids are in the teething phase, and they want to touch it, and then they want to put it in their mouths. Well, praise the Lord. We have a great dedicated nursery staff. They are always on guard to keep our kids safe. Those kids are never in danger of ingesting something that might do them harm. We have such a great staff that knows how to preserve and how to protect. Well, friends, when we think about the purpose of the church, the Bible teaches us that the church has been appointed to preserve and to protect. To preserve and to protect the truth. The truth. You see, we live in a secular world today that is constantly assaulting the truth that God has revealed. We live in a secular world today that wants to silence truth. They want to distort truth. They want to pervert truth. The secular world will do anything to minimize truth, to silence truth, to quiet it forever, or even to destroy it. But praise God, He has entrusted His church with His truth so that you and I might preserve it and promote it in this world. Look in your notes there. I gave you a wonderful scripture out of the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Scripture says that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, for those of you who maybe aren't into architecture or building construction, that word pillar is an important word. A pillar is a vertical column. A pillar is a main support. It's one of the main supports that holds up a large structure. So if any building is going to stand for any period of time, that building must have a grounded foundation. It must have strong pillars. Well, friends, what the Bible affirms is one of the primary reasons that God has the church here on planet Earth is to hold up the truth, to promote the truth, to protect the truth. What we want to hold out to the world is not mankind's wisdom. We're not interested in the latest ideas of Dr. Phil or Oprah Winfrey or Dr. Oz. No, that's not what we're here to hear about week by week. That's not what we're here to promote. We are here not to promote human opinion, human wisdom, or human philosophies. What you and I are here to do as part of God's church is to hold up the truth, the divine insights that have been revealed by this infinite, awesome, glorious, wise God. Look in your notes, I gave you a classic scripture from Psalm 119, verse 160. The Bible says, "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever." I love that scripture. Jesus Himself said these words over in John 6, verse 63. "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life." Here's the point I'm making, friends. There are a lot of good organizations out there today. There's a lot of community groups, and there are even many parachurch groups that are doing lots of good things. But no group is more important than the church. The church has this one privilege, this one responsibility of preserving and promoting the truth of God, this life-transforming truth that God once heralded out into the world. Friend, what a joy to be a part of that church. What a privilege to be a part of that church. This is a beautiful, wonderful, unique thing called the church. It's totally unlike anything else on the planet. How special the church is. What a privilege you and I have been given to be a part of God's church. One wise Christian said these words, "The church is the only cooperative society in the world that exists for the benefit of its non-members." That's right. That's exactly right. As the church, we have the truth. And we live the truth, and we love the truth, and we especially want to hold out the truth to this world that so desperately needs to hear it. Now, let's look at a third reason, shall we? A third reason why the church exists, why it's so valuable. Number three, the church exists to spread the gospel around the world. Number three, the church exists to spread the gospel around the world. Now, friend, I want you to use your imagination for a second. I want you to imagine that you were given a challenge of assembling a list. Your challenge is to assemble a list of the most influential events of all human history. Wow, that's a challenge. If you were challenged to make a top 10 list of the most influential events in human history, what would make your list? Can you take a minute here and just think, what would I put on my top 10 list, the most important events in history? Would your list include the arrival of Christopher Columbus to the New World? Would the Battle of Gettysburg make your top 10 list? How about Martin Luther King Jr.'s famous "I Have a Dream" speech? You know, just this past week, we marked the death of Dr. Martin Luther King as he was assassinated there on that hotel balcony in Memphis. Maybe the biography of Dr. Martin Luther King would make your list. I can't imagine, maybe some of you who are world history buffs, maybe you'd put the fall of the Roman Empire there, 476. How about the dropping of the first atomic bombs ever in the world, Hiroshima and Nagasaki? Would that make your list? Friends, listen, no matter what you might put on your particular top 10 list, I think whatever you would put between numbers 10 and number 2, I don't think there's any question that there's only one logical choice with what deserves to be in number 1, and that is the biography of Jesus of Nazareth. For me, that has to be number 1, the biography of Jesus of Nazareth. Friend, just stop and think about it. Has any person in history so radically altered human history the way Jesus did? One particular person I read this week described Jesus' life this way. The greatest man in history was named Jesus. He had no servants, yet they called him master. He had no degree, yet they called him teacher. He had no medicine, yet they called him healer. He had no army, yet kings feared him. He won no military battles, yet he conquered the world. He committed no crime, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, yet he lives today. Friends, when we read the Gospels, that's where we uncover this amazing biography, the biography of Jesus of Nazareth. And when we study the Gospels, Scripture shows us that Jesus did not come to this planet to be merely a great teacher. He didn't come here to be a dynamic moral example for us. He certainly did not come to be this suave political leader. No, Scripture tells us very clearly in the Gospels that Jesus came here to be a savior. That's why he came. He came to be a savior. He came on a divine rescue mission for the purpose of going to the cross so that he would die for our sins, so that we would be forgiven, so that a great exchange would take place. Our sins go to him, and his righteousness comes to us. And that is how we can be forgiven. That is how we can be right with God. You know, Jesus made it clear time and again why he came. Look in your notes. I gave you Jesus' words there in John 3, verse 17. For God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Friend, let's talk a minute here about the greatest news on planet Earth. The greatest news on Earth is not that McDonald's now serves all-day breakfast. The greatest news on planet Earth is not that your 2018 taxes are going down. No, the greatest news on Earth is that Jesus Christ died for sinners. That is the greatest news in this generation and in every generation, that Jesus Christ died for sinners, and that all those who trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins will have salvation. That is why, after the resurrection and before Jesus went back to heaven, Jesus gave his disciples their primary mission. It would become the mission of the church. This mission of taking the good news about Jesus and taking it out into the world. Look in your notes. I gave you Matthew 28. In verse 19, Jesus speaks this incredible section of Scripture. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, if we all got up from our seats right now, got in our cars, and went down to Broad Street in Hazleton and started asking people about why does the church exist, there are many people right here in our own city who say the church exists to do fundraising. They genuinely believe that that's what the church is here to do, to just raise money to do a little good in the community. And many people have that false impression that that's what the church is about, that it's about collecting money through bingo nights and street carnivals and bazaars, pierogi sales and raffles and tricky trays with snazzy prizes. That's what so many people think the church is all about, that the church is just about raising some money so the church can keep existing, so that it can raise more money, so that it can keep existing, so that it can raise more money, so it can keep existing. That's what so many people think the church is about. But listen, the Bible teaches us that the church is not here to get things for itself. The church is not here to get things for itself. The church is here to give things away. Namely, the gospel message, the good news about salvation through Jesus Christ. That is the message that you and I are called to spread. That's why the church is here. We exist to spread this good news across this city, across this state, this nation, and we want it to spread around the globe. You know, some time ago, family, I was surfing through Facebook one morning, and one of my Facebook friends posted a link to this other website, some website called Living Social, I think it was called. And for one day only, Living Social was running this deal where for only $10, you could purchase and get a $20 Amazon gift card. So you spend 10 bucks, but you get a $20 gift card. Now, I'm no dummy, but that's pretty good. That's a pretty good deal to me. So I jumped all over that. I said, man, this is great. So I went over to Living Social, and I got the offer for myself, and then I shared that link out on my Facebook wall so some of my other friends and family members could see it. Well, wouldn't you know, by the end of that day, that deal, no kidding, it was exploding across social media. I mean, I was scrolling down my Facebook wall, and I mean, it was one friend after another, 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 another. I mean, it was probably a few hundred people of just my own friends who had jumped on this deal from Amazon. Listen, I'm going somewhere with this. You know, people are so passionate, aren't they, to pass along the news of a good deal. We want to pass it along to our friends, the news of a great coupon or a great deal or a great sale. But listen, the Bible teaches that you and I are here. We are also here to pass along the great news about Jesus Christ. Friend, I would ask you, are you doing that? Are you doing that? Are you just as passionate for Jesus Christ? Are you passionate to share with others how Jesus Christ has changed your life? People get so excited today, don't they, about the deals, about the coupons. But it brings happiness for just the shortest time, doesn't it? Just a few days, just a few weeks, and then we're on to the next big deal. But you and I have the opportunity of sharing something, that is the gospel, that can truly transform someone's whole life. It transforms their life. And not only that, it'll take them off into this glorious eternity where they're going to be with Jesus. You know, maybe you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian. Friend, just like so many of my friends on Facebook were so excited to share the good news about Amazon and that deal, I'm excited to tell you today, friend, about Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us the real truth, the honest truth, that we are all sinners. The Bible tells us the truth about ourselves, that we prefer unrighteousness to righteousness. We prefer our own sinfulness rather than going God's way. And the Bible calls that sin. Because of our sin, we're separated from God. And as a result, the Bible says we deserve to be judged by God. We deserve to be judged by Him. Just like a good judge in Luzerne County upholds justice by judging evildoers, so the Bible says God is a just judge. And our sins deserve His judgment. But friend, the wonderful news of the gospel, the good news of the gospel message is that God loves us. He loves us so much, He sent Jesus Christ to be a perfect man for us and then to die on the cross for our sins so that our penalty could be paid for. That way, anyone who trusts in Jesus Christ for salvation, anyone who trusts in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins will be forgiven. Friend, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He loves you enough to taste death for you. To taste death for you so that you would never die for all eternity. Dear listener, if God is speaking to your heart today, turn away from your sins with a humble heart. Turn away from your sins with a heart of repentance and reach out to Jesus Christ. Believe on Him with a heart of faith. Jesus gives you His own word. He gives you His promise in John 6. Whoever comes to Me, I will never cast out. Friend, would you come to Jesus today? Come to Him. Come to Him today in believing faith. Put your trust in Him as your only Savior, and He promises to cleanse you of your sins, to make you new from the inside out. He's going to bring you into God's family for eternity. Well, friends, let's look now at one final reason why the church still matters today. One more vital reason that answers that question, why does the church still matter? Here's number four. The church exists to strengthen your spiritual life, growth, and health. Number four, the church exists to strengthen your spiritual life, growth, and health. Friends, I wonder how many of you saw the news on March 3rd, just a few weeks ago, that Roger Bannister passed away over in Oxford, England. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with that name of Roger Bannister, he was the very first man in history to run the mile in less than 4 minutes. Now, this is so important because for generations, people in the track community, the experts in that community, believed that the sub-4-minute mile was a human impossibility. I mean, for years, the 4-minute mile was believed to be like this immutable barrier that human beings would not physically be able to pass. But Roger Bannister was this incredible track and field athlete. He had a powerful kick that was like a turbo boost that would push him down the home stretch of a race. And he didn't believe the naysayers. And as he was training and running, he started getting closer and closer to that 4-minute mark. And he really believed that he had it in him to go under the 4-minute mark. Now, this is what's so fascinating to me. Even though he was still a med student at the time, still full-time in medical school, Roger Bannister started this special training regime that was designed to train his body to go faster and faster and to lower his running times. He had this very specific training routine of very hard runs followed by timed rest periods. And he did that ultimately training his body to go faster and faster in the mile run. Well, sure enough, all that training finally paid off. The date was May 6th, 1954. It was a regular race, and he was running that day against Oxford. He was 25 years old that day. He finished his mile race with an official time of 3:59.4. And family, that became one of the greatest moments in sports history. Friends, when we talk about the church, why does the church exist? Why does the church still matter for your life today? Well, friends, the church seeks to accomplish spiritually what Roger Bannister was trying to accomplish physically, and that is training. To provide training. The church is here to help you with training so that you can grow, so that you can advance in your spiritual life journey. You might remember we read that Matthew 28 famous text there. Jesus said, after a person becomes a disciple, after they believe on him for salvation, they signify that belief by being baptized. Scripture says the very next thing for that new disciple is they are to be trained. They are to be instructed in all the things that Jesus wants them to know. So what are we saying? What we're saying is that believing in Jesus for salvation, that is just the beginning of the Christian life race. Jesus wants every Christian in this room to keep growing, to keep learning, to keep advancing, to keep maturing in spiritual things. Look in your notes there. I gave you 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Scripture says, like newborn infants long or desire the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted the Lord is good. That's the challenge, to long for, to desire, so that we can grow. 2 Peter 3:18 says this as well. Scripture says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Friends, let me talk to you real honestly for a minute. There's a trend going on today. It's a dangerous trend. There's a trend happening today, especially with the advance of technology. It's this trend of people choosing to stay home on Sunday mornings and to choose church on a screen rather than to choose church in person. It's happening more and more. People are staying home to watch television broadcasts. They're watching streaming video of services. They're listening to audio podcasts on Sunday mornings. Now listen, don't mistake me here. Those things can be helpful. There's a place for those things in certain aspects of your Christian life. But listen, no screen can replace what God wants to do for you in the local church. You see, there's a whole package of things that are going on here Sunday by Sunday. God designed you to be in the church and with the church. There's face-to-face interaction here. There's personal encouragement here. There's accountability going on here. Pastoral instruction happening before your eyes to touch your hearts. And there's all kinds of opportunities in the church for you to serve, for you to get involved in the lives of other people so that you can encourage them in their walk with Jesus. Listen, it's all of these things that God is doing in the local church. All these things coming together like a beautiful recipe. And make no mistake, friends, that stuff cannot happen on a screen. It can't happen on a TV screen, a computer screen, or a podcast. Just like a sports coach, the church is here to give you real-life instruction, face-to-face instruction, so that you can keep growing and moving forward in your spiritual life. So let me talk to you honestly here this morning, Christian. Doesn't matter if you've known Christ for 5 minutes or 5 days, 5 years, or 50 years, don't turn your back on the church, All right, you need to be here. You need to be here. God wants you to be here as regularly and as consistently as you can. Listen, the church is not here to entertain you, but to train you. The church isn't here to entertain you, but to train you so that you can keep growing in your effectiveness as a servant of Christ. Listen, if you're really serious about being a strong Christian, there's no better place for you to be on a Sunday morning than right here. Right here in church, where you can get all those doctrinal insights, where you can get all those practical encouragements from other people who can spur you on to a vibrant Christian life. Well, friends, as we draw to a close today, I sure hope that this message from God's Word, I hope it's been an encouragement for you today, friend, on the purpose and the value of the church. You know, how many millions and millions of Americans stay away from church every weekend? They stay away because they think it's irrelevant. They think it doesn't matter. Oh, what a terrible mistake that is. What an awful mistake that is, because the church does matter. The church matters because God says it matters. It matters because it's one of the primary ways God's glory is reflected in this world today. It matters because the church stands as the promoter and the protector of God's truth. The church matters because it's the primary messenger to tell this world about the good news of Jesus Christ in the gospel. And the church matters for the way that it trains believers, helping children and teenagers and college students and adults and senior citizens how to be better, how to be more powerful, how to be more stronger in their effectiveness for Jesus Christ. So Christian, as you depart for a brand new week, my prayer is that you'll leave here today passionate, excited that you get to be a part of the church of Jesus Christ. The church matters, and it ought to matter not only for this world, it ought to matter in your world, friend. Listen, when you come to church Sunday by Sunday, there is an energy here. There is a real excitement here. Let me tell you, there's more real joy here than there ever possibly could be at some Italian festival. But it's so important for you to understand, friend, why you're here. Why are you here Sunday by Sunday in the midst of all this energy and excitement? Why are you here? Why does the church still have significance for your life? Why? Because the church is the people of God. It's the family of God. And we need to remember that Sunday by Sunday as we gather together. As we enjoy all the energy and the excitement of spiritual things, let's never forget why we're here and what we are called to do. What a privilege for you and I to be a part of the church of Jesus Christ. What a privilege to be a part of the church.
Thanks for listening. This Preaching for a Change broadcast has been brought to you by the Grace Baptist Church of Hazleton, Pennsylvania. For more information, visit us online at mygracebaptist.church. If you enjoyed this broadcast, then share it with a friend on your favorite social media network. And be sure to join us next time for more enlightening and encouraging biblical exposition here on Preaching for a Change.